Grace and peace be yours through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for this morning is from the Gospel lesson from Luke chapter 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we were once lost, but you found us. Open our hearts and minds to your holy word, so we may grow wiser in salvation and rejoice with you when you have found your lost ones. In Jesus, our good shepherd. Amen. Did you know that there was a chapter in the Bible that is known as the lost chapter? Actually, it's not gone or missing. It's called the lost chapter because it talks about lost things. And that's Luke 15, what we just heard. Luke 15 has 3 parables that Jesus gave. The lost sheep, which we just heard. The lost coin. And then the last one, the lost son, or sometimes known as the prodigal son, because he too was lost. Things that are lost, things that we share as a human experience. We're always losing something. And then it's difficult, you know, then we get everybody up and, you know, we got to find this, and it throws the whole household into consternation as they get losing and looking and turning things over. Today they have a thing called the Tile, if you're internet savvy and computer savvy. Attach this to your keys, and if you lose your keys, you press a button on your computer and this thing will start beeping where the keys are. That's fine if you can hear it, but if you can't hear it, it's still lost. The point in chapter 15 is pretty simple. Things get lost. The things that God is especially interested in is people, his creation, you, me. And God really goes out of his way to find the lost. This all started because Jesus was invited for dinner and was eating with sinners of all things. My goodness. Pharisees never saw themselves as sinners. They saw themselves as very righteous people. And why would Jesus waste his time with sinners? They're lost. Who cares about them? He should be spending time with us. We're the righteous ones. They just couldn't figure that out. And of course, when they couldn't figure that out, then they despised Jesus all the more. And so Jesus tells them these 3 stories. Now the first story about the lost sheep, immediately all of Israel could resonate with that illustration, because the prophets in the Old Testament had often spoken about Israel being the lambs of God, the sheep of God. We heard it from the Old Testament lesson in Ezekiel. Isaiah says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way." And so they knew what Jesus was referring to, the lost. It was early 1950s, my mother decided to go to Marshall Fields, downtown Chicago, and took me with her. Now, according to her, I was a rather lively child. So much so that she had to devise a leash for me. It was, in fact, a dog leash, but it was attached to a harness, sort of like how you wear a backpack, except it's you can't get out of it. And that way she could keep me in tow. According to her, she was looking at some dresses when she noticed that the leash was rather limp and I was gone. I had somehow figured out how to get out of the harness. And she began frantically looking for me, and as each minute went by without finding me, she became more and more frantic. And finally, the Marshall Field floor walker had to join in, and he's trying to calm my mother, and he's also trying to find me. And this went on for almost a half hour, and my mother was almost beside herself when the floor walker spotted me at the Fannie Mae candy counter. You know, those nice ladies in the pink aprons, and they were feeding me chocolates because they didn't want me to cry. And my mother came up with a very stern look on her face, which I could, even then at that early age, could translate, "Wait till we get home." And according to her, I said very innocently, "Mom, they found you." Yes, in my mind, my mother had gotten lost, not the other way around, because I was being precocious. I was being who I was, a little boy, going his own way. Like so many of us are, we go our own way, not the Lord's way, and very easily we can get lost. And how do the lost get found? Well, they need a finder. They need somebody to pursue them. The lost don't become unlost on their own. Somebody has to find them. Somebody has to bring them back. And that was Jesus' point. That's why he was eating with sinners. He was trying to find the lost. He wanted to bring them back. A couple of years ago, I was in Macy's department store, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw on the floor a glove, one glove. It looked like a nice glove, fairly new. I picked it up, kind of looked around to see if anybody was looking for something, and I didn't see anybody. So I went to the clerk, and I said, "Where's the lost and found?" And, you know, she didn't know. She didn't know where the lost and found was. I went to three other clerks in the area there, and nobody seemed to know where the lost and found. And it occurred to me, think of how many things get lost and never even get to the lost and found. And then those who are lost and find themselves, whatever article it is, find themselves in the lost and found, how many of those are ever eventually reclaimed? Because people even forget where they lost the thing. I had a favorite hat of mine, and I cannot find it, and I've been to every place that I thought I was in the last 6 months, and nobody seems to know anything about it. So it is really, really lost. And a box isn't enough. Putting the lost in the box of lost and found is not enough, because it'll never get reclaimed unless somebody comes and gets it. Jesus was making that point. The shepherd wasn't going to wait around until the lost sheep found itself back in the fold. The shepherd actively went after looking for the sheep. The wife, the woman of the house, is actively sweeping her house looking for that single silver coin. The Word is our guide here. No one seeks God, all have turned away, Romans 3. You have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. The Holy Spirit leads us in this way. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. So in this gospel lesson, we hear the law. We are lost when we go our own way, when we separate ourselves from God. This is wrong. But the good news is that the Savior goes searching for us. And it's the Savior who finds us. It is the Savior who restores us, and he wants to very badly. Now, how can we put this into action? I'd like all of you to think for a moment here, really focus here. What would it be like if there was 50 extra people here this morning? Or 75? Or the pews are filled? What would that be like? Would that be a good thing, or would that be a bad thing? I think I heard that would be a good thing. Not sure, but I think that's what I heard. Yes, it would be a good thing. Now, the difficult question, why would it be a good thing? Because we would like to have more people help us pay bills. We would like to have more people do jobs around here. I don't know if that's such a good reason why. I mean, after all, if you think about it, what organization would you want to join if the sole purpose of you joining would be to help pay people bills? I don't think I would want to join an organization that just wants my money. I don't think I would want an organization that would want me to work so somebody else wouldn't have to work. But I sure would like a group of people who loved me and cared for me and wanted the best for me and had good news that a Savior wants me. Now that would be a good reason why I would want to join that organization. So, let's do something this week. This is your challenge. This is your homework for the week. I would like you to find your membership directory. I want you to open it up and find your name. Okay, find your name. And then choose two or three people above your name and two or three people below your name who you know, for example, they haven't retired and gone to Florida. I mean, there's no point in going contacting them. I mean, to say hello, that'd be nice, but find those people. If they're permanently shut in, skip, go to the next one. Find two or three above and below your name, and then sit down and write them a little note. Put it in a real envelope, not email, please, a real envelope with a real stamp, and just say, how are you? I haven't seen you for a while. Now, if you've just seen them, well, then go to another name, but I haven't seen you for a while. How are you? Are things going well with you? You've been on my mind. Love to see you on Sunday. Is there anything I could do? Do you need a ride to church? Just ask a few of those questions. And then sign off by saying, I'd love to see you Sunday. And mail that off Monday or Tuesday. It's not really a hard thing to do. But you know, that note might just be something that will touch their heart, waken in their memory about St. Peter's. make them remember you and others here and come back to the fellowship. You reach out to them and make that offering. At the beginning of the lesson in Luke 15, the Pharisees grumbled, saying Jesus was eating with sinners. Well, in a few moments, Jesus will be with sinners at his Holy Supper, and we rejoice in it. We come to the source of the Lord's Supper repentant, knowing that there is joy in heaven, that we are repentant, that we are home with our Lord and Savior, that he who died on the cross for us has won us. In Jesus' name, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Please rise as we confess our faith.